Famous for their iconic Humboldt fog, inspired by the misty Humboldt County coastline, Cypress Grove has been a cornerstone of American cheese for over 40 years. Their range of fresh, soft-ripened, and aged goat cheeses promises an unforgettable experience. Proudly crafted in Arcata, California, where the redwoods meet the Pacific Ocean, Cypress Grove cheeses are available nationwide at specialty retailers. Discover their cheeses, serving tips, and even order online at cypressgrovecheese.com. Perfect for any occasion or as a gift. There's nothing like that Humboldt fog feeling.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
We'll jump across to London to one of our favourite Irishmen in that city, that being Mark Wogan. Mark, good morning.
Good morning to you, sir. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
And to you.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I mean, I'm a little up against it. I'm not going to lie. I've got a load of people here for lunch. I've paused my culinary endeavours to speak to you.
Well, we are forever in your
debt. And the good people of Ireland.
Your culinary endeavours are what? What are you planning for Patrick's Day lunch?
So we're starting with a little onion tart with a little whipped goat cheese on the top that's been flavoured with thyme and a little bit of garlic. And then we're having beef cheek that I've cooked for about 5 hours in Guinness. And that's going to be served with horseradish mash, some carrots and some cabbage and pig's bum.
Oh, stop. When you say cabbage and pig's bum, does that mean that the pig's bum will be imbued through the mash or served separately?
The pig's bum will be, I cook the cabbage in the bacon water, of course.
Magnificent.
Is there any other way to do it?
I'm getting flushed, Mark, just listening to you.
Well, at least you're excited by it. Unlike one of my guests this week on Spooning with Mark Wogan.
Oh, yes, your Patrick's Day special.
My Patrick's Day special with Mr. Tubbardy, who we discovered has the palate of a small child.
Well, you did in this special, I have to say, take a very brave move, which surprised me, which was you attempted to feed him a lobster pie, knowing, I assume, that it would not go well.
Well, I didn't realise how badly. I mean, you know, if people get their phone out now and they search wherever they can get their podcasts from, they will hear Ryan Tubbardy spit food out like a 7-year-old child.
I don't like it.
Literally. And if you search on YouTube, you can see his bottom lip wobble as well.
Which is all the more amazing given what it is, because it is a very, very fancy, one assumes very, very expensive lobster pie. And you have on this series fed people things, including guinea pig. It could have been a lot worse.
Well, I mean, look, I think he got off lightly. But before the guest comes on, they answer a little questionnaire of things they love and things they hate and guilty pleasures and childhood memories and all that sort of thing. And he, in bold letters, wrote, I don't eat anything that lives in water. So I felt that was a bit of a red rag to a bull. And knowing that at the Mount Street restaurant where we filmed this, Jamie Shears, the head chef there, one of his signature dishes is a lobster pie. And it is magnificent, this pie.
I'm intrigued by the pie. How does he make it? Is it an egg-based pie or is it a potato-based pie?
Well, it's like a lobster bisque, with just filled with lumps of delicious lobster. And then he puts a lovely sort of glazed pastry over the top. And then you've got a little lobster head sticking out the top of it, staring at you.
Magnificent.
It's a beautiful thing.
Did you get him to cook the guinea pig?
We didn't cook guinea pig. So Helen Skelton.
I thought you fed Helen Skelton guinea pig.
No, she got fed guinea pig in South America.
Oh.
And she thought she was choosing a pet. And then they presented it to her sort of spatchcocked. And, you know, being the polite girl that she is, she felt she had to eat it, you know. But a lot of these people who do sort of travelogue stuff and, you know, we had the hairy bikers on and the lovely, unfortunately, recently departed Dave Myers. They were terrified I was going to serve them a part of a goat you wouldn't want to eat.
Well, this is interesting because you had the same experience that I'm going to name drop heavily here, Mark, but bear with me. You had the same experience with the hairy bikers that I had with Marco Pierre White.
Ah.
You fed them a dish and there was a lot of, oh my God, what is this? To which your answer was, that's one of the dishes from your cookbook. I did there's a program here called The Restaurant where in theory you compete by cooking, but in actual fact you stand around while professional chefs compete for cooking, making your menu. But one of the things that I made was a passion fruit souffle with passion fruit sorbet. And I served it to Marco Pierre White. And Marco Pierre White said, I have always believed that you should partner souffle with ice cream. And I said to him, I got that out of your book.
I bet he wasn't happy.
He was not happy. It didn't make the edit.
You might argue he never looks particularly overjoyed anyway.
I think he's one of these deeply misunderstood people. In there is a soft interior. You just have to dig very, very deep to find it.
It's the tortured creative soul, Anton, is what he has.
Speaking of which, you have found the soft interior to Richard Corrigan as well. I think Richard Corrigan is a sort of a family pal of yours.
He's a lovely man, and I know the whole family very well, and the lovely people, and I count them all as friends. He's fantastic. Richie, his son, who now runs his empire, is an incredibly talented young man. His daughter, Jess, is probably one of the best restaurant PRs here in the UK. And they're a fantastic family. And he is, for me, pound for pound, the best cook working in the UK. And I say that differently to a chef. Right, he's a phenomenal chef, but he's a cook as well. So you could give him a bag of obscure ingredients, and within 10 minutes he'll have cooked you something delicious. Because cooking's in his bones, that man.
And he has done a lot for furthering Irish cuisine in the UK. It has to be said as well.
He's brilliant. Like anybody who comes over and very much retains their Irishness, you know, they only do good to promote our good people in this country. And, you know, as I was discussing it with Ryan, it's like being Irish now is probably the best thing to be.
You are only saying this because your passport lets you pass the queues, Mark.
No, I obviously, because of the way I sound, I wear my Irishness lightly, but inside, absolutely. And, you know, I've never had another passport. I probably shouldn't say that out loud because the authorities will turn up and throw me out of the country. But
you know. I think there's a common travel area that covers you, Mark. You should be okay.
Yeah, no, I should be all right. Well, you never know. The way this country can shift around on its opinion, you never know anymore.
Let's not. You outlined for us this delicious sounding goat's cheese and onion tart and then your beef cheek in Guinness. To whom are you feeding all of this? Because it sounds like quite the quantity of food.
Well, I am over at Mother's today. I've transported all my prepped food over here, and I'm putting it together for her and a group of friends of hers today because she likes to have a nice lunch on St. Patrick's Day. So I'm cooking it for her today.
Will she be properly appreciative?
Well, yes, at the level of a mother, yes. But she's never shy with her critique. Let me put it that way. A couple of weeks ago, I cooked her. I've filled her freezer with a few things, and one of the things I cooked was an Irish stew. And I rang up and said, "What have you had today?" She said, "I've had the Irish stew." I said, "Did you enjoy it?" She goes, "You're a bit mean with the size of the meat."
Oh,
jeez! You know, it's a tough audience. Put it that way. I walked in here today. And the first thing she says to me is, "You need a haircut." I'm like, "Did I ask?"
By the way, while we are talking about your physical appearance, one of the things that I haven't had a chance to talk to you about was this weird notion that you got when you turned 50 years of age.
Ah, yes.
Dropped your body fat down to, I think, about 3% so that we could bounce pennies off you and became extraordinarily ripped. The question in all of this is, why?
Well, I think it was that thing of you sort of get to 50 and you think, oh, how long have I got left? And how good would I like that to be? So I thought I'd get into the best shape of my life, the second half of my life. Because prior to that, I've been every size under the sun. I mean, there was at one point in my sort of mid-30s, you probably needed a bicycle to get on my good side. You know, but
you were probably very happy. No?
I don't know. When you weigh 23 stone and you stand up in the morning, you get out of bed and stand up in the morning, the first thing you feel is pain in your ankles and
you
knees.
Weighed 23?
I did, 23.
So what did you hit at 50 then? When you did the fit at 50, what did you get down to?
I got down to 12 and a half stone.
You lost half of you?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, look, the other thing about it is, it's very easy to lose the first sort of 5-6 stone because you got it to lose. But then to go from sort of, you know, because I sit comfortably around, you know, because overall I'm built for comfort, not speed, right? So, but if you get down to about 14 stone, which is sort of a comfortable weight for me, to go down to 12 and a half, everything in your life is steamed. It's not fun.
No.
But I just wanted to see if I could do it. And then somebody...
And there's an overabundance of broccoli as well.
Yes. And then somebody convinced me to remove all my body hair, cover me in oil and take pictures of me.
Good Lord.
Which when I had those pictures done, my brother said, those will haunt you. And he was right.
What worries me slightly is that at first glance, I assumed this was an intimate and private act done between you and a close friend. You showed other people these pictures.
You know, it ended up in Men's Health magazine with the title Pizza Boss Loses 30 kg.
Sorry, I'm just debating how fast can I Google this.
But the other thing about it now is if anyone is ever traveling through Liverpool Street Station, there is a 10-foot high billboard with a picture of me before and after promoting the gym that I did it with as well. So the amount of videos and quite abusive pictures I get as people go past it on the escalator still to this day.
Well, fair play to you for being a good sport. The thing that I want to know, though, while it is laudable that you have come around with your pre-prepared food to feed your mother and her friends, mm-hmm. at the point at which you present that food, are you then going to depart and head for the nearest parade at which you can wave your passport?
Well, to be honest, what I've got to do is scuttle home, and then I've got to fly to Dubai this evening.
You name dropper.
Well, no, it is for work, to be fair. I mean, I'll try and squeeze in a little pleasure, obviously, but it is for work. And it's the first time I've ever been. It's the first time I've ever been. But I guarantee you they will wave me through that passport control as if I was a form of royalty because of the passport that I carry.
Well, I'm conscious of your time and I will let you go because undoubtedly your mother wants her very fancy beef cheek braised in Guinness with horseradish and all the rest of it.
But before that, if it isn't served on time.
I do have to get an answer to a question that has come in by text, though, which is, was Sir Terry Wogan ever a Grand Marshal in a parade? And if so, which parade?
Not to my knowledge, as far as I know.
How did he dodge that bullet?
I don't know. He was probably too busy working.
Nonetheless.
Well, I mean, he should have done. Should have done. But look, if anybody's looking, I'm available.
Fine.
To pick up any slack he may have left.
Well, obviously it's too late for this year, but if you're planning for next year, because apparently the planning starts immediately and you would like Mark Wogan to be your Grand Marshal, it would be at a relatively small fee, 15% of which will go to us here on the Anton Savage Show, just
you personally.
Well, I didn't want to say that, Mark, but yes, that's what I was driving at. Mark, always a pleasure. I hope your mother's response to what you put in front of her is entirely positive.
Well, I'll report later. I'll let you know later.
Mark, thanks very much. That is Mark Wogan. If you want to see Spooning with Mark Wogan, he is doing a Patrick's Day special, himself and Ryan Tubridy discussing all things Irish. And he is attempting to feed a lobster pie to Ryan Tubridy during that process as well.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.